Blog Talk Radio.
Quand tu me dis que tu n'as pas d'autre vie, je sais parfaitement que tu mens. Tout le monde sait que tu me trompes souvent. Alors méfie-toi, je t'avertis maintenant. Tes bottes sont faites pour marcher et tu vas le regretter. Car je mettrai tes bottes un jour ou l'autre pour te quitter. Tu mens tellement que c'est plus fort que toi. Et tu ne sais jamais où est la vérité. Comme tous les enfants, tu crois être un homme. Mais toi dans ma vie, tu ne m'as rien donné. Tes bottes sont faites pour marcher. Et tu vas le regretter. Car je mettrai tes bottes un jour ou l'autre pour te quitter. Toi tu joues avec le feu et tu t'amuses. Mais un jour viendra où tu vas te lever. Alors ça se passe là, c'est moi je l'aime, yeah. Ce qu'il est, tu ne le feras jamais. Les bottes sont faites pour marcher, tu vas le regretter. Car je mettrai tes bottes un jour ou l'autre pour te quitter. Et maintenant, c'est toi que je vais faire marcher.
More than 20 people injured during a shooting at a Kansas City Chiefs parade. Police just providing an update. Jeff Paul has more from investigators.
I was just telling everybody to get down, and like get out the way.
Kansas City Chiefs fans recalling the terrifying moment gunfire erupted near the end of the team's Super Bowl victory parade on Wednesday, the shooting leaving at least one person dead and more than 20 others injured. Thousands were sent running for cover.
This appeared to be a dispute between several people that ended in gunfire. We have subjects detained, two of which are juveniles.
The injured victims included 11 children, ages ranging from 6 to 15, 9 of them suffering gunshot wounds. All of the kids are expected to survive. A local radio station says one of its DJs, Lisa Lopez Galvan, a mother of two, was the woman who was killed. Her friend describing her saying, quote, she was the most wonderful, beautiful person. She was a local DJ. She did everybody's weddings. We all know her. She was so full of life. Meanwhile, investigators are now collecting physical and digital evidence as part of their search for a motive. Police say they detained three people on Wednesday and recovered multiple firearms. Social media video appeared to show two people chasing and tackling a third person, holding them down until two police officers arrived. But it's not clear at this point if that third person was involved in the shooting.
After they tackled the guy, I guess the guy fell out and landed right at my feet. So I looked down and I just immediately thought that I needed to get it away, so I took it and put it over by that wall that was near me.
Law enforcement is asking anyone who directly witnessed the shooting to contact police. In Kansas City, Jeff Paul, Fox News.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and have be here, and hopefully we have a good show tonight.
Yes, it's season 6, episode 37, topic, Monsters Among Us. It's Thursday, February 15th, 2024, and happy belated Valentine's Day to all. The stupidity of the Republicans never seems to amaze me. When one thing they couldn't stoop lower than pond scum, they always do. from their dumb supporters who vote against their best economic interests, their lunatic Christian white nationalism and everything in between, they have become the party of Trump. They continue to do things that show they don't care nothing about America. Mass shootings have become common in America. Lack of critical thinking is a norm, and willful ignorance is lauded in today's GOP over science and education. They might be extinct within a decade at the rate things are going. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a useful idiot. He's a pawn in their scheme to overturn democracy. Tucker Carlson and Fox quote unquote news as well. Are Americans aware of what they're up to, or are we naive to think that the GOP is still relevant? Tell us what you think, America, and call us in tonight at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody, Democrat, Republican, Independent. If you're a Trump supporter, don't bother calling. We'll just hang up on you because you don't bring nothing useful to the table when you discuss anything. You try to narrate the conversation, and this is not your show. This is ours. So turn off all background noises, and as it's a distraction to the hosts and listeners. Be sure to visit our official website, kitchenpolitics123.com, where new blog articles and new recipes are up and running. And the merchandise section will be up and running shortly, just working out some kinks. So Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with me, David Franklin, and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So hello, Laurie, and hope you had a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah, how about you? Good?
Oh, it was decent, restful. Friday night, we're supposed to go to the Bob Marley One Love movie, but unfortunately, I was tired, fell asleep, so I guess Friday, tomorrow night, I'll be going. And I hear I get mixed reviews about that movie and everything, so, I just will check it out and everything. As some viewers know, and Facebook friends knew, that I grew up with Bob Marley and around Bob Marley, so I look. Mm-hmm. I'm very eager to see that movie. So hopefully,
it'll be
justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. So the mass shooting that unfolded among amid throngs of people at Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl celebration appeared to stem from a dispute between several people. Authorities said Thursday today. And that record clip that we heard on Fox 32 Chicago delivers breaking news and live events. So investigations are now going through what happened.
World War One promised us.
Hopefully we can get to the bottom of this thing. And what's happening and what happened. And hopefully the people who, got injured will be okay and will regret, the loss of the mother of two beautiful children DJ, and sad all around. And why the hell can't this is something that should be celebrated. Why are people going with guns? Just answer that.
Well, the thing is, in that state, it's open there. You know that, right? So that could be part of the problem. Then there's alcohol. It sounds like, I don't know if they actually know. I shouldn't say, but from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like they intended to go there to start shooting people. It sounds like they had an argument, amongst a few, they had an argument, and that's what started it all. What I don't understand, they were arguing, amongst themselves, how did 22 people get shot and all these children get shot? I mean, those poor kids are going to be traumatized. I mean, they're going to be physically, hopefully, but traumatized. I can't even imagine, you take your child someplace, a celebration. They said that they were expecting possibly up to 1 million people. They had all kinds of security. They had people sitting up on buildings. I think that they were set up pretty well from what it sounds like. But still, that's a lot of people, of course, but it was a nice day. It was a happy day with celebration. And who would have ever thought, that, you know, that something so tragic could come from a celebration such as this, a happy day, a sunny day. So I guess it just goes to show us do not know. We just don't know. And then today they were talking about Detroit because coming up they're going to have the draft, the NFL draft here for the first time. And I don't know how many years, if they've even ever had it here. I don't know that for sure. But it's a big deal. There are people coming here from all across the country. And they said, you know, some different parts of the world as well. So now they have to, they're going to have a even more intense security plan because now they're worried, you know. And it's the same. Our society has come to a point that you can't even go to something happy, a celebration, and not worry about being shocked. What the hell is wrong with this country?
Yeah. Well, I did some background research, and according to what I found, is two suspects were juveniles or are juveniles. So I think that the prosecutor should also prosecute the parents because kids don't have guns, shouldn't carry guns. And, you know, the last time I checked, it is illegal for juveniles to purchase guns. So where did these kids get the guns? Were they part of some gang? You know, what the hell is happening? And, you know, I'm confused because this dispute was among three people who are now in custody. And why did they open fire and apparently indiscriminately spray gunfire on a large crowd? You know, and the Kansas City DA, we'll let them out in a couple of weeks. So I guess we'll find out exactly what happened. You know, it's so sad that people have to suffer like this every time a crazy person gets a gun. You know, how did these kids get a gun and who this third person is? We need to find out. And the day of the incident, the police were afraid to let them out because people wanted blood, you know. And, you know, when, you know, several times when we told people, you know, from USA, they said, you know, when you hear tourists from whatever country, you know, they ask, the number one thing they ask me, why is America obsessed with guns? I said, hey, you know, the Second Amendment and what have you, I think it should be amended. Some people think it should be abolished totally, you know. So, you know, just gone obsessed because I know one person when I lived in Florida. His wife left him over it. Imagine in the house alone, he has over 300 guns hidden in different places. And his car, he had a further 50 guns. I don't know if I told you that story, you know. So these kids... the two or the three people should be prosecuted as adults. What do you think about that?
You know, and the thing is, David, here in Michigan, we just had a case that there was a school shooting. It was last year, about 18 months ago, I think now. And there was one, two, three, I believe four students shot. This is the case where the mother, father took his son to go by the gun, to go buy a gun. It was a rifle, actually, after Christmas, as a Christmas gift. And then the mother took him to the shooting and taught him how to shoot. Now, he was mentally unstable. Jennifer Crumley was is her name. That's the mom. The dad still has been tried. He's going to be tried, I think, next month. She was found guilty of, she was convicted of manslaughter. She's they haven't said how many years, but she can get up to 60 years in prison for this. So I think that if if a law like this was around the country, maybe parents would think about locking up their guns or not buying their son a gun if they're unstable or if they're going to use it not for hunting. That's my So,
yeah. You know what? I'm leaning, Lori, that this was some gang-related thing because two youths, you know, they're in a dispute and argument and everything. But you notice the media spin on it that, oh, you know, it's two young men who are minorities. And you hear all the stories now. Oh, you know, they weren't brought up right and blah, blah, blah. But once there's a white person who do it, oh, mental illness, that's a first defense. You know?
Well, yeah,
so why the disparity between the two, you know? What was these boys growing up like? You know, did they have a two-parent home? Does that affect the way young boys and, you know, even young women grow up in society? And if you're a minority, you know, how does that affect you? So, you know, let's hope in a couple of weeks or even sooner that the authorities can, you know, give a full explanation for what transpired because America needs to know. Imagine this is only February and already there have been over 5,000 mass shootings. But before we get to that, we'll have Elaine online. We'll let her in. You know, Elaine, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Oh, nothing too much. I've been trying to figure out what happened over there for the Super Bowl parade. They're not saying too much right now.
No.
You know. And I don't know if it was rifles or pistols or handguns or what was used.
Well, they were juveniles. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have had any guns. You know, they should not have even had. They call them juveniles. So I'm thinking they were 14, 16 years old. Wouldn't you consider that to be a juvenile, teenager?
Yeah, under 18,
anything under 18.
Yeah, for sure. So, they're not saying
we had the year anniversary of the shooting at Michigan State also.
Yes, that was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. We had the church shooting at Joe Upstein's church. Was that last week? I mean, Second Amendment. Well, what about the rest of our lives? Don't we count?
No. It's obvious we don't. It's obvious that, you know, let's put it this way. They are hell-bent on banning abortion across the country. Abortion does not kill innocent people. I'm sorry. You have your own, you have a choice as far as if you want to keep a baby or don't want to keep a baby or whatever your circumstance is. But they will not even have a conversation about banning AR-15s and these assault weapons and, you know, making it harder for people to buy guns and store guns and red flag laws. I mean, I could go on and down the list. It's ridiculous. And we have to think about where we go now because we're really not safe anywhere, not in a mall, not in a movie theater, you know, a grocery store if someone's having a bad day.
Church.
I mean, honestly.
What's even a goddamn church?
Yes, a church, yes, like
church,
Elaine mentioned.
Church, mosque, and a god. We're just not safe in a house of worship.
Yes. You know, schools, of course, schools, all that. That's a given. So what is our defense? Do we, and like yesterday, something that happened like yesterday, how are these people all going to defend themselves except to run? That is it. Run.
Oh, that's what I forgot to say. Where's the good guy with the gun?
Right. So what are you going to do?
I mean, come on. I'm sure there was guns in the crowd. What are they going to do, pull their gun and start shooting also?
That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So how can you ever figure out who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't have 20. You'd have a
thousand. One of the guys said that he ran and tackled a person, a male. It looked like he had a weapon, and he laid on him until the police came. And when they were interviewing him, I don't think he knew at that time whether he got anybody, if it was the person that did the shooting. He said, I hope it was somebody that I should have tackled. But he said, I just didn't know what to do, so I tackled them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what what do you do? No one expected this, and that's the problem. You go somewhere, and you don't expect to be a victim, you know, or know someone is a victim. You don't expect
that. And during the shooting and everything, a couple of people had strokes, a couple of people have heart attack, and, you know, and kids were run over, a couple of them were shot, and thank goodness that they were rushed to the hospital, but because the first child that went there had a surgery that saved saved their lives and everything. So good going on the doctor's part within the operation.
Yeah.
And good for the police and the state troopers who were there and answered immediately. Thank goodness for people who tackled them.
Yes.
You know?
I just remembered a shooting about, let's see, there was about 8 years ago. And it was at a home where a woman was taking care of children for mothers that worked. And a child found a gun and shot a toddler's. A child found a pistol and shot one of the other kids' eyes out.
I remember that.
Do you remember that, case, Lori? That was on the west side, around Livonia area.
Yeah, I don't remember what the outcome was, though.
The child lived, but the child will be blind in one eye.
Oh, God. It's terrible.
I mean, this is not something that we should be able to say, pull out here and pull out there. And before we're done talking, we've used all 10 fingers on our hands. We shouldn't be able to do that. Not with gun violence.
No. You know, and we know that, especially with the MAGAs that we have right now, they're not even going to talk about it. They don't want to hear anything about anything. They're just, you know, worried about Trump as president. That's all they're worried about.
Yeah, and Republicans saying it's just a cost of freedom, and also that, you know, they send their thoughts and prayers to the victims and the families and those who got hurt and everything. So I said to Republicans,
Pardon?
With the shooting at Epstein's church, I didn't hear thoughts and prayers.
Yes, and you know, speaking of that, I have a two-minute thing from Inside Edition about the Joel Osteen megachurch shooting and everything. It was this woman who have a history of mental illness since 2005. She's been in trouble with the law many times. She even threatened law enforcement many times. The FBI was even on the case and everything. And she had a legal gun. So why you know that this person have mental illness for years, been in trouble and in and out of jail many years. You know, take away the gun license and take away the goddamn gun. But no.
Did Epstein know her? Did he reach out and give her any help?
Osteen.
Or is he so big and so money hungry that he doesn't care if he's got people that are going to his church that need his guidance?
Yeah. So one person died in that shootout at Joel Osteen mega church. That was a woman, because a couple of off-duty policemen were there, and her son got shot and fighting for his life now. So here's the report.
Parishioners hugged outside Lakewood Church, where on February 11th, a woman brought a rifle and opened fire. Celebrity pastor Joel Osteen said this religious community is devastated by the shooting at his Houston, Texas megachurch.
So approximately at 1:53 p.m., a female, approximately 30, 35 years old, entered the property on the west side here in the parking lot of Lakewood Church. She entered the building. She was armed with a long rifle and a trench coat with a backpack, accompanied by a small child, approximately 4 to 5 years old. Once she entered, at some point she began to fire.
This happened shortly before the 2 p.m. service that is conducted in Spanish. Authorities say two of the off-duty law enforcement officers working at the church responded after the woman fired multiple shots.
Both officers officer and agent engaged striking a female. She's deceased here on the scene. Unfortunately, a 5-year-old kid was hit and is in critical condition at our local hospital.
A 57-year-old man also sought treatment for a gunshot wound to the leg. Lakewood Church meets in what was formerly the home of the Houston Rockets basketball team, the Compaq Arena. It has a capacity of roughly 16,800 people, and it's estimated about 45,000 attend services each Sunday. Pastor Osteen says it's fortunate this happened after the more heavily attended morning services.
Well, I can only imagine if it would have happened during the 11 o'clock service. We were in between services going into the Spanish service, so, you know, if there's anything good of it, you know what, she didn't get in there and do a whole lot worse damage, so we thank God for that, and he's watching over all of us.
Law enforcement has not released the name of the shooter or given details on any possible motive. For Inside Edition Digital, I'm T.C. Newman.
So thank you, Inside Edition.
I got a message for you. You should take and have a long talk with God. God gave you a message to do something about this gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I couldn't care less about Joel Osteen, but so sad that this young child was shot and, you know, was used as a ploy and injured, other people. Osteen sounds like a sociopath to me. And, you know, when I was watching this report, he had this grin on his face. This permanent grin. You know, I don't know if he means it or is just that's how his face is, you know. And what a weird way to respond to a situation. He reminds me of the Joker from Batman.
Yeah.
All he needs is just, like, the paint on his face and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I dislike anyone who profits as much as a name, you know, in the name of religion as Osteen does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a tragedy, and we pray for that child who got shot. He's innocent because his mother was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he makes a swift and complete recovery. We know this because women have an extensive record of arrest and mental issues. And she refused to take her medication, and she went off the deep end. And she's been threatening the police, the local police, for years now. So why in hell they didn't take away her license and her gun? Why?
Good question. You know, and the funny thing is that the first thing that these Republicans say when you talk to them about their guns, they say that these shooters are mentally ill. Okay, so if they're mentally ill, why do they have a gun? You know, but they don't have the solution because they won't give you an answer. They'll just hit you back. It's my amendment right. No, I'm sorry. Human beings.
And the nerve of Joel Osteen. And the nerve of Joel Osteen to say at least they didn't attack the main service, you know. That Spanish service that was going on is less important. You know, what the hell? You know, that's the best it could come up with Joel Osteen?
Yep. They lose everything. They lose their compassion. They lose their dignity. You know, they feel that they're untouchable people.
Mm-hmm.
They get to that, you know, I guess they feel like they're already, you know, part of God. I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yeah,
so let's
Joel
talk
Osteen
about...
is one creepy bastard. Joel Osteen is one creepy bastard. Just looking at him, he looks like he's, you know. And one day ago, four Atlanta students injured in a shooting outside their high school and everything. I have that queued up and everything. So we're going to play this one-minute thing and talk about that as well.
Okay.
Gunfire and panic.
Yeah, it was like boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it was back to back.
Ninth grader Corey Thomas and his classmates at Atlanta's Benjamin E. Mays High School ran for cover.
Okay, so we're confirming there are going to be a total of four people shot at the location.
Someone had shot and wounded four students in the Mays High School parking lot as school was letting out for the day. Just before the gunfire, there had been a fight, police say, and school police showed up and were there, and that's when someone began shooting. Video from a witness shows two of the students patients being taken away for treatment. Mays High School is Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens' alma mater.
Yeah, I'm shocked and heartbroken.
The mayor describing all that the city has been doing to try to reduce youth violence.
But incidents like today, where young folks can have access to a gun, this is concerning and is dangerous.
Families of the wounded students with them at Grady Hospital, as police at Mays High School worked into the night, interviewing some 100 possible witnesses. Police promising more security at the school immediately.
I'm still scared.
This was Corey Thomas's first day at Mays. He and his family had just moved to Atlanta.
I'm, like, frightened.
Corey's mother, Ebony Steele, not sure she'll let him go back.
Honestly, I need to have a conversation with the school about safety measures, not just for my son, but for all students and for the family as well.
Thanks for watching. Stay up.
America is a battlefield, okay? America is a battlefield, mm-hmm. and none of this is yes. normal. No other country in the world would have developed or, you know.
No. I mean, think of what she just said. I may not send my son back to school, but if before I do, I want to have a conversation with the school. Think about that. She shouldn't have to do that. She shouldn't have to worry that her son might be killed in school while learning how to read or write or do English or whatever the case is, learn history. They should not have to worry about being shot in a school. And a parent shouldn't have to worry about having a conversation with the school. That is beyond my thinking and understanding. That is wrong. It is. We are so messed up in this country. It's disgusting every day. It's just a disgusting, despicable thing, you know. So in 2024... almost 5,000 people have died in our country with gun violence. Now, where are we? February the are we 16th? You know, are we the 16th? And we have almost 5,000 people that have died with gun violence. 5,000 people. You know, I mean, I should have done math and figured out how many per day, but it doesn't matter. There's still 5,000 souls, 5,000 people that matter to somebody, somewhere, a friend, aunt, uncle, a mother, a father, a sister. It doesn't matter. They're human beings. And here we have, you know, an uncontrolled environment with love of guns. The love of guns and your Second Amendment right is just despicable. Because we have rights too. And my right is to not be afraid to go somewhere in public and enjoy myself. That's what I'm afraid of. And I shouldn't have to be afraid. Have to be afraid. You know? When you go downtown theaters, you can't even bring a purse in there. They don't even want you to bring a purse. So, you know, you have your ticket and that's it. You go and sit. And you know what? I mean, that's kind of crappy, but what else can you do? You know, you bring your debit card and stick it up and you're done. You know, there's nothing else to do. So,
well, you can't bring a purse, but you can bring a gun strapped to your belt.
Well, they
tell me that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
concealed carry in some states.
Yeah.
Almost
like
all states know.
I'm talking about like at the Fox Theater, you have to go through the metal detector now. And it's just, you know, it's almost like they take away the beauty of, you know, going into this beautiful theater, you know, and you have to go through a metal detector. And you know, if you bring a little purse, it can only be so big and you got to put it down, just like you're going in an airport. You know, it's just like our rights are being taken away because we're good people. We don't have guns. We don't kill people. But, you know, these other people that think that they can just bring guns wherever they want, and if they have a bad day, they can start shooting. No. No, it's wrong. Something has to give and change in this country. It just does.
Yes. Yes, I remember the Stoneman, Stone, how you go? The
near Stoneman Douglas High School in February 14, 2018, when 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz opened fire on students and staff. So, you know, Cruz, a former student of the school, killed 17 people and injured 17 others. After leaving the school campus, Cruz was detained by a Broward County police officer, and Cruz was charged with 17 counts of first-degree murder and 17 counts of attempted murder. He later pleaded guilty to all charges, and he's now spending life imprisonment. Another shooting took place 10 years prior to the Illinois at the Illinois University on February 14, 2008. Another Illinois University alumni opened fire on a crowd of students on campus. His name is Stephen Casimiria Sack, 27 years old, killed five students and injured 21 more before fatally was shooting himself. You know, this is just too common in America. And even in Mardi Gras, when they're cleaning up and they're having celebrations for Mardi Gras and everything, some asshole shoot three people. And they're doing a cleanup now as we speak. And, you know, I have another two-minute clip here. And this is from WCBU, NBC Channel 6 affiliate. And here it is.
Shooting last night in the CBD. This happened right as Mardi Gras celebrations were coming to a close. The NOPD now working to make arrests and also determine a motive. WDSU reporter Shay O'Connor joins us live from Canal Street at Royal, where it happened. Shay.
That's absolutely correct. I was actually speaking with some people in this area who told me that they were still enjoying Mardi Gras festivities. When they heard loud shots being fired, they immediately ran for cover. We're just going to go to some video that we were able to get for you of that scene following that triple shooting earlier this morning. As you said earlier, this happened right after New Orleans Police Chief Ann Kirkpatrick touted a safe Mardi Gras in our city at our annual sweep of Bourbon Street. Imagine hundreds of thousands of people in this area when all of a sudden you see people running for their lives. That's what a group visiting from Atlanta tell me they witnessed today. They are just finding out that three people were shot in that accident. NOPD says one person had to be taken to the hospital by EMS.
Actually, it was insane because we were drinking Anejo and we was having a ball. And all of a sudden, we saw two people arguing. We thought they were, well, you know, just having a good time and just playing. You know how people, you know, are. And then we saw him reach down. We didn't see everything. We just took off running. I can't remember exactly what he looked like, but it was crazy. But it was hard to, like, get into the situation because we were having so much fun.
I'm still working to find out more information about this triple shooting, but based on what people are telling me, they tell me that they were having a good time and very stunned about just the random act of violence during that time. If you do know anything that could lead to an arrest, you're being urged to contact Crime Stoppers at 822-1111. Reporting live, Shay O'Connor, WDSU News.
Shay, thank you. In just moments, before...
Yep, so thank you, Shay O'Connor, and WDSU News in New Orleans. One person shot, or three people shot in Mardi Gras, New Orleans, the same day that the Kansas City Chiefs were having their Super Bowl celebration parade. And that same day as well, Atlanta, Georgia, school in Atlanta, Georgia, four kids were shot. When is the madness going to end? You know, should the NRA take some responsibility? Because, you know, the all they do is sell guns. They're against red flag laws in different states. They are for open carry, concealed carry. You know, as long as it sells guns, you know, reciprocals and everything. You know, so I mean, when does it stop? When does your responsibility, you know, go to the NRA? Because the NRA has been around since 1870. If memory serves correctly, you know, and it's just a small handful of people. It's under 3 million people who are members of the NRA, but they're filthy, rotten, disgustingly rich, wealthy, you know. And again, in America, money talks, bullshit walks. They're one of the biggest lobbyists in Capitol Hill. How can we get through to the people of the NRA? that, you know, selling promoting AR-15s and M-16s and AK-47s and other assault rifles shouldn't be it shouldn't be in the hands of regular citizens. You know, it shouldn't be just about profit. How do we get through people like that?
You can't. Well, they're going to have to find a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we could get a majority in the House and in the Senate, you know, in this next election coming up, there is a good chance that some laws will be changed. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. But the way things are right now, the way everything is set up and everything in this country, how divided it is in every, you know, way, shape, and form, no, there will be nothing done, you know, for this year at all. You know, and going back to, a little bit to the almost 5,000 people that have been killed, they said that 147 of them were teens and 31 were children. Then they went on to say that there was in 2023, 43,065 gun deaths in 2023, with more than 36,000 people injured. Gun deaths, excluding suicides, in 2023 were the lowest that had been in 2020. Injuries were the lowest that had been since 2019. So there's just something going on. I mean, there's more than 49 mass shootings in 2024, you know, according to the Gun Violence Archive. And that is an incident of four or more victims that are shot and or killed. You know, so, you know, they have all the statistics. You know, we know how to possibly solve some of this horrendous acts of violence and murder and shootings and pain and suffering, but nothing's been done. Nothing. You know, why can't they, what would be so bad about a 21-year-old having to be 21 to buy a gun? What would be so bad about having to register your gun? How about, what would be so bad about having to have training, like driver's training, for, you know, to own a gun? What would, what's so bad about background checks? And I mean good background checks. And what's so bad about maybe 5 to 7 day waiting period before you can pick up your gun? What would be so bad about, what is so horrible about any of that? And what about if you sell or you buy a gun illegally and then someone gets killed with that gun? You should be responsible and have to have a mandatory sentence. Let's say 10 years in prison. Don't you think that that would maybe deter some people?
Yeah, added to which, what you just said, why not have gun liability laws? Because when you have a car and everything, and you can use a car as a weapon, you need insurance for the car. Why not have insurance for the gun? So whoever the gun owner is, say, you know, you have a child, somewhere, somehow got the gun, carry it to school, shoot somebody, then not only is the kid responsible, but also the parent who owns that gun, who didn't secure the gun properly. You know, so gun liability insurance is a possibility. But, of course, red states are against that. And some blue states are hitching, you know. So why is the whole delay, you know? It's common sense gun control laws. And for the first time in 30 years, the Biden administration has done things to help with gun control. And, of course, Republicans call it tyranny and communism and what have you. They don't know what communism is. You know, because they want a person like Trump to be a dictator. And the first thing dictators usually do, because we started with Stalin, we started with Chairman Mao in China. When you turn a dictator, the first thing you go is from door to door and take every gun from the citizenry. So they don't know, you know, be careful what you wish for. Okay, right wing groups. And in Switzerland, there are many guns, but there's no mass shooting. Why? Because you have to go through a rigmarole, a lot of training. The same thing in Japan. Where you go through at least 6 months training, both in written training and on the gun range, and do a mental evaluation. If you even have one arrest or even DUI or history
of violence, spousal violence, or any type of violence, you get denied. But what we do here in America, for example, Iowa, you know, where there's this law that, you know, was a Republican at the time who signed this into law where, you know, blind people have the right to own a gun. What the hell does that say about, you know, gun safety? A legally blind person can own a gun. How ridiculous is that? So why not give them a license to drive a goddamn car? You know?
Yeah.
The Republicans have this scorch and burn attitude that, hey, you know, once you're an American and you believe in the Second Amendment, no matter what, you can own a gun, even if you're blind. And I blame Ronald Reagan for this because in 1981, he came in and the mental health institutions, he didn't fund them. They went bankrupt. So they just let a lot of people out. You know, that's why I have such a problem with homelessness now, because Army veterans, you know, armed force veterans especially, they have PTSD, and they just give up on life and everything because of what they went through, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears for this country. And a person like Ronald Reagan, you know, basically shit on them by not, you know, funding mental health institutions that were around the country. You know, so I blame Republicans closing on this, especially their patron saint, Ronald Reagan. You know, and hopefully when Democrats come in and win this 2024 election, then, you know, some not only common gun safety measures are taken and put into law, but also gun insurance liability. That's a big thing. And I bet you any money, once that is in there, then people will start straightening up and acting right. You know, we need background checks, like you said. We need red flag laws. And hopefully in 2026, when the gubernatorial race is up in Florida, Nikki Fried is expected to be the front runner for the Democrats. She's the current chair of the Florida Republican Democratic Party. I hope she gets the nomination, and I hope she beats whomever is running. I don't know if DeSantis can run again, you know, but if he does, I hope he wins, because the people of Florida, how can you vote for a man who has just totally ruined, you know, one's beautiful state? You know, so there's no excuse to vote for a Republican in this day and age, because from time and time again, to prove that they don't care, the only thing they care about is the bottom line and giving their rich 1% friends a tax cut. And when Trump was in there, over $7 trillion in tax cuts. And they want to give more tax cuts just to get the White House back and the Congress back. We're not going to allow it. You know, it's too, the price is too high to pay in terms of, you know, protecting children, protecting women's rights, protecting immigrants. Because these very same people who, you know, hit out against illegal immigrants, they're the same ones who hiring them and paying them crumbs below minimum wage. You know, we're seeing it, especially in the red Bible Belt states, where you're having kids quitting school to work from, you know, 12 years old, 13 years old, and they're giving them peanuts. You know, how dare you, Republicans? You talk about you put America first. You know, you're full of crap. All Republicans are full of crap. You know, none of them have any decency. And the only ones that have decency is Liz Cheney, who's out of office, and others who, you know, fight Trumpism. And it's just a sad situation for America.
It is, definitely. Mm-hmm. But a little bit of good news. The seat that DeSantis, Santos had in New York.
Congressional District 3 in New York.
It was flipped to a Democrat. So that's good. And it seems like, you know, even before that, the special election that we had before that, Democrats did really well. So I'm hoping that this is a trend, you know, that people are understanding and seeing that, you know, Republicans do not have America's best interests at heart, in their hearts. They don't, they're out of touch. They don't care. They don't care if, you know, if you don't get your Social Security check. They don't care if you don't, you know, if you don't eat breakfast or lunch. They don't care about, you know, children's education or college education. They don't care about Medicare, you know, if you have it or not. They don't care about health care costs or drug costs. Well, I mean, is there anything that they do have a passion for that would help the American, just the everyday Joe in America? Are there anything that you or Elaine can think of that would help in general? Is there any policies that they have come up with lately?
No, they're saying no to everything. And speaking of that special election in New York District 3, I have the clip lined up and everything. The congressman who won today or yesterday or a couple of years back, he was a congressman before. So, you know, upon winning a couple of years back, he when he goes back to Congress and takes the oath of office, he is going to be a senior member in the Democratic Party because he held seats for four terms prior to that. And he left because he ran a Democratic nomination to be governor but lost. So Tom Soucy is his name. And he replaces George Santos, that lying son of a bitch. And he defeated Republican nominee Mesa Phillip. And here is the report. Henry Rousseff from Woodbury, New Jersey. He is from PIX 11 New York, WPIX New York channel. Here it is.
Cheerful, and I'll be quiet for a minute so you can hear, and we'll pan off into the crowd. Those are chants of Swazi, Swazi as the former congressman arrives, and according to the Associated Press, the congressman-elect in this special election. AP just calling this race. We've heard increasing levels of confidence from Democratic Party members here at this victory party, what has now become a victory party, saying that Swazi opened up around a 14,000 early and absentee voting advantage. That's well more than we were even seeing that our polling and the initial numbers during the last few days. That would have meant that Mazi Pilip, his opponent, would have had to clean up something like 60% of the election day votes. You mentioned the snow already. That made it very, very difficult. She was banking on a lot of election day votes. The Democrats growing more and more confident. But I have to tell you guys, we've been tracking this race very closely since it was declared about 2 months ago. And I don't think anyone expected to wrap it up this early in the evening, just based on the very makeup of the district and how tight this district was. It does speak to this campaign and the issues in this campaign, with Swazi moving in a drastically more moderate direction, particularly on the issues of immigration and the migrant crisis, than the rest of his party, really not being afraid to take these issues head on, and also taking a relatively aggressive tact with his opponent, Mazi Pilip, the Nassau County legislator, who tried to moderate on issues like gun control and abortion access, and Swazi saying, if you want the safe choice on those issues, pick me. And that case was really made. I've been looking at some of the breakdown of the heat maps and digging into the precinct levels. Most of these vote totals coming out of Queens so far, there's just a sliver of Queens. Swazi really ran up the score there in those Democratic-friendly areas. And even within those areas, in the more Republican-friendly precincts, he somewhat mitigated the advantage. So the confidence had been building all night. We're expecting Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs to head up there any minute to introduce former Congressman Swazi, and when he does make his remarks, we will bring them to you. But
okay, so thank you so much. That was from WPIX in New York. You know, so a little bit later on, before the show ends, we'll play a little bit of his speech. Congressman Tom Swazi, CBS New York will provide that clip and everything. Okay, so his opponent. She was registered as a Democrat but ran as a Republican. How does that make sense?
It's just a bait and switch thing. I don't know. That's what it makes me think of.
Elaine, what do you think about that? The person is registered as a Democrat but run as a Republican. How does that make sense?
Well, it made sense to me after I read what she believed in. It made all the sense in the world. She didn't believe in any of the Democratic values.
No, she doesn't.
I mean, she was a total... She was a total wacko, and she belonged exactly where she ran, in the Republican mm-hmm. Party.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
And AIPAC, the American Israeli PAC, sponsored her campaign, gave millions of dollars to her campaign. She's Jewish. Of course, you heard her when she speak. You know, you should have that Jewish accent and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Israel trying to, like Russia, trying to influence our...
I thought she had more of a Jamaican-type accent.
Mm-hmm.
A what?
I thought she had more of a, like a Jamaican-type accent.
Oh, hell no. No. She's Jewish. No,
but she didn't have a Jewish
no.
accent to me.
Yeah, Jewish.
Know,
she's Jewish. No. That's not a Jamaican accent, so...
Yeah, well,
you know,
she wasn't
the,
born here. I'm trying to remember what country she was born in.
Definitely not Jamaican.
Do you have
no,
it?
Definitely not Jamaican. Yeah,
Ethiopia.
So, you know...
Ethiopia.
That's right. Yeah,
so she's
Ethiopian
an Ethiopian next. Jew. She's an Ethiopian Jew.
Jewish person.
Yeah, she was. Wasn't she in the Israeli army as well, so she said?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. Yeah. So, you know, more than likely, she's a plant of Mossad. Now, Mossad, if you don't know there, is the secret service for Israel. You know, so, you know, embrace calls for stronger border security, acknowledge in advance age of Joe Biden, pledge support law enforcement and Israel. So Democrat Tom Suse hit all these points during the campaign for a bellwether House district in Long Island. And bellwether because it keeps switching between Democrat and Republican. So it's one of these swing districts. Joe Biden won it by 8% in 2020. Sorry. And, you know, so Suse, who was a former congressman, you know, he came as Democrats nationwide are grappling with the GOP's leveraging of a southern border crisis to its advantage. To its advantage, why? Because for months, for years even, they're asking Democrats to do something about the border. And Democrats give a lot in this deal, only for Donald Trump to say, here what, if you do vote for this passage, I'll have nothing to run on. I'll make sure your life is a living hell if you're running for re-election in the House or if you're running for re-election or election in the U.S. Senate. As we know, 32 U.S. Senate seats are up for grabs, most of them being Republican. So, you know, Suse, Congressman Suse, managed to neutralize these political weaknesses and his Democratic brethren would likely confront as they run for House seats in swing districts throughout the country in November. And the swing districts so far are 44 different districts across the country. Some of them even competitive where it shouldn't be competitive. So instead of dodging the issue like border security, House Republicans for snubbing a bipartisan deal in the Senate while embracing suburban voters' concerns over the flow of immigrants into the country. Suse signaled to the voters he shares their concerns with Biden's age in a recent Fox News interview a day before the election. And, you know, he's expected to endorse Joe Biden for president. So Democrats also portrayed Pillip as an opponent of abortion rights because in that one debate they had, he asked her point blank, are you for, you know, women's rights or are you anti-abortion? And she said, me personally, I, you know, if a woman wants to do it, she can do it, but abortion is wrong. So she's trying to talk out of both sides of her mouth, you know?
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. So what's good for the goose is not good for the gander.
Exactly.
You know, basically that's what she said. And she was trying... She was trying to appease everyone by saying, oh, you know, I'm against it, but, you know, someone else, you know what I'm saying? She was trying to, you know, try to run both ways. And it doesn't work like that. You're either for it or you're against it, you know. And she wasn't willing to say that. So I took that as your So that's how I took it.
And thank you for the people who came out in the snow and sleet and cold. You know, to vote, because usually when, you know, bad weather, Democrats stay home, you know?
Yeah, they had a big... yeah, that made me happy when I heard that as well.
Yeah, Lori and David, getting back to how can we change things, we've got to get big money out of politics. The next, we already have religious organizations that are packing big money into some wacko stuff. I mean, we have a separation of church and state, and they don't read that part of the Constitution like they don't read most of the Bible. We have
the perfect Bible, actually.
I mean, Joe Epstein's church, 45,000 people at $1 a piece. Now, come on, you know darn well that the people contribute more than $1 a piece.
Oh, yeah.
So every time he has a service, you can add that $10 a person, and you know that some people are giving hundreds of dollars a service.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
We've got to get big money out of politics. And we have to get rid of the Electoral College, and we have to bring back the Fairness Doctrine. Those are the three major things to get this country back on track.
You know, or, and even, you know, the other thing is that someone is elected to office, you're elected to office, and then you have to start worrying about your next election and start fundraising, you know. It 2 years before you're even done with your term, it's crazy. You know, we've been listening, we've been hearing, you know, about elections since the last election, you know, and it's just, it's tiring. You know, the money that they have to spend is horrendous. They should only have maybe a 6 or 8 month deal. That's it. You know, 3 months to campaign or 6 months to campaign, and then you have your, you have your election and be done with it, you know?
Well, you got to get big money out of politics, period, even down in the local level. Just to run for your city boards, you can start at $20,000. And a lot of those city jobs, city council, city boards, they only pay maybe $2,000 or $3,000 a year. Just sit there. Now, it's a big city like New York and Detroit and Chicago. It costs them hundreds, more like a hundred thousands. I don't even know the numbers. $200,000 or $300,000 to run for an office, and I'll bet you any money, some of those offices in the big cities, the local offices, are running in the millions. We've got to get big money out of politics, period, from the top to the bottom to the top.
It's true, because, you know,
when I lived in Florida, when I lived in Florida, to run for a county commission seat, and that's a local seat, you know, you need $1 million in a primary alone. Remember, it's a local seat, it's not federal. You know, when you're running the goddamn primary, you need $1 million at least. I mean, that's madness. That's craziness.
If you want to run for office, maybe the first year you can get away with doing good. But your donors are your big shots. And believe me, they want their favors. And if they don't get their favors, they spend money to make sure you lose.
So since we're talking about separation, since we're speaking about separation of church and state, Robert Reich, he's a former Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration. He set up this video describing what it is and what it should be, and how, you know, there should be there is a separation of church and state, and nowhere in the Constitution does the Bible name call or God. So, you know, it's a clear-cut case. You know, so here is the 2 minute clip.
Donald Trump may be building a wall along the Mexican border, but he's taking down the wall separating church and state in America. Consider, number one, Trump's new travel ban into the United States targets Muslims and exempts.
Oh, by the way, this was when Trump was president. And imagine if he goes back in the presidency, what damage he'll do.
especially like how he has the evangelical support.
Yep.
Christians, as it relates to persecuted Christians, do you see them as kind of a priority here?
Yes, they've been horribly treated.
Number two, Trump's Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, has described her work on education reform as a way to advance God's kingdom. High on her agenda is redirecting taxpayer funds to religious schools. Number three, his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has said the idea of a wall of separation between church and state is not constitutional and is not historical. Sessions has attacked Justice Sonia Sotomayor for having a, quote,
postmodern, relativistic, secular mindset. And I believe it's directly contrary to the founding of our republic.
Number four, Trump's gag rule, prohibiting U.S. funding to non-governmental organizations that offer or even advise family planning and reproductive health options if they include abortion, involves a matter of conscience at the heart of personal religious liberty. Number five, his pick for Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, has argued that in taking God out of government, quote, secular progressives have succeeded de facto in redefining part of the Constitution, unquote. Number six, his vice president, Mike Pence, has spoken on the House floor criticizing public schools teaching evolution but not creationism.
Let us demand that educators around America teach evolution not as fact but as theory, and an interesting theory to boot.
And number seven, Trump's pick for Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, has joined Pence in co-sponsoring bills granting full legal personhood to zygotes. The First Amendment bars any law respecting the establishment of religion or infringing on the free exercise of religion. Trump and his administration are well on the way to violating that fundamental right. Don't let them. Make a ruckus. It's your religious liberty they're violating.
So that was Robert Reich, former Naval Secretary in Clinton administration.
Yeah, I love
that. Talking about separation of church and state. And the forefathers, the founding fathers of the United States, were against it, you know. So I don't know where these religious zealots from the religious right that dominate the Republican Party now come up with the idea that Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, James Monroe, James Madison, etc., think that there was, you know, church mixed with state. For Thomas Jefferson, the third president, said, "I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people, which declare that their legislature should, quote, make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state." Thomas Jefferson. It couldn't be more clear-cut, you know? The guy who wrote the Constitution said that. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, an alliance of coalition between government and religion cannot be too carefully guarded against. Every new and successful example thereof, of a perfect separation between ecclesiastical and civil matters, is of importance. Religion and government will exist in greater purity without, rather than with the aid of government. James Madison, fourth president. You know, he too was against, you know, the coalition, you know, with church and state, you know, that it should be one. George Washington, the very first president, said, "I beg you to persuade that no one be more zealous than myself to establish effectual barriers against the powers of spiritual tyranny and every species of religion persecution. You know, so yes, George Washington was for religion, but not in goddamn government. You know, what don't these right-wing lunatics understand by these words from the forefathers, the founding fathers of the United States?
You know, David, I think they understand. I really do think they understand. I just think that just like everything else, they want to change the rules, and with their rhetoric and their everyday pounding on, you know, this is right and this is wrong and church and state and Christian nationalism and all this stuff. They're trying to change the minds of people. They can't change the, you know, the Constitution, what it says, but they can try to change the minds of people. And they're also showing people that these mega churches are showing them that, you know, if they support their party, you know, they're going to give them more tax cuts and they're going to make more money and they will, you know, and I mean, that's basically all it is. It's, you know, it's not hard to really figure out. The root of the whole thing is making the money that they make. And it's millions upon millions of dollars, and they don't pay tax on it. And the biggest thing they would fear is to have to pay tax. Can you imagine that? We wouldn't have a deficit, would we?
Yeah. So George W. Bush, when he ran for president, when George W. Bush, Governor Bush at the time from Texas, ran for president, his very opening line was, "I believe that God wants me to be president." You know? And I blame Pat Roberts. I blame Pat Roberts, who came to a head in 1988 when he, Bob Dole, and George H. W. Bush ran for the Republican nomination. He won the Iowa caucus and came close in winning New Hampshire primary. You know? And you know, I mean, the whole thing about religion and politics mixing is ridiculous because we've seen in Iran that don't work. We've seen in Pakistan that don't work and everything. And Mitt Romney himself, when he ran against Obama, our greatness would not long endure without judges who respect the foundation of faith upon which our Constitution rests. No, Mitt Romney was wrong then. He's wrong now. You know, and the pandering to, you know, religious people is disgusting in the Republican Party. Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, he said, "The first job we have as Americans is to reach out to everybody in the country who's not yet saved and to help them understand that spiritual basis of creator-endowed society." Not everybody going to believe in Christianity. What was Newt Gingrich talking about? That makes no sense. George Herbert Walker Bush, 1988, "I don't know that atheists should be considered citizens, nor should they be considered patriots. This is one nation under God." George H. W. Bush, vice president. He was running for president at the time. Rick Perry, former governor of Texas. He was the energy secretary in the George W. Bush administration. He said this, "I think it's time for us to just hand it over to God and say, God, you're going to have to fix this. I think it's time for us to use our wisdom and our influence and really put it into God's hands. That's what he's going to do, and I hope you join me when he announced president of the United States when he unsuccessfully ran." Sarah Palin, the half-governor from Alaska, this is what she said as a vice presidential nominee. "I think we should keep this clean, keep it simple, go back to what our founders and our founding documents meant. They're quite clear that we would create laws based on the God of the Bible and the Ten Commandments." No, they've been at it since 1962. Fred Cork, Charles and David Cork's father, he wanted the Ten Commandments in schools, public schools, back in in the 1950s. You know? And they still want it now, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't remember what state it was. I think it was Nebraska where, you know, they put the Ten Commandments at some public school. So this atheist and Satanist put, you know, some satanic idol there and say, "Hey, you know, so I worship Satan, so, you know, it should be there, public domain," you know, taxpayer-funded school, you know, and he's right. So Ronald Reagan, patron saint Reagan, when he ran in 1980, "Within the covers of the Bible, are we all the answers to all the problems men face?" You know, and so he is using the Bible, saying that, you know, the Bible is the end all and be all, and the laws governing should be based off the Bible and not the Constitution.
No.
We've got to George W. Bush again. We need common sense judges who understand that our rights were derived from God. You know, so these nut jobs, the Republicans keep nominating and everything, who call themselves Christians, which they're not, you know. And I sum it up by saying Thomas Jefferson.
Christianity neither is nor ever was a part of the common law. Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1800 when he ran for president. You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, good Lord, get your act together, religious, right? You have no business in politics. If you speak about politics in public, you should be taxed.
Yes, absolutely they should be taxed. Are you kidding
me? Think about which religions are pushing it. Is it the, it's the mega churches, and they have become a business, and they have become another one of the big contributors. That is why we need to do something about money and politics.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody talks about it, though. You know,
I don't know. No party talks about it. This is what's scaring me. We could be doing this all over again in 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing, Teddy Roosevelt. You know, he said to discriminate against a thoroughly upright citizen because he belongs to some particular church or because, like Abraham Lincoln, he was not avowed his allegiance to any church is an outrage against that liberty of conscience, which is one of the foundations of American life. Teddy Roosevelt. You know, so like Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt was probably an atheist. He didn't believe in religion. You know, and he believed in that statement that, you know, religion should not play a part in politics. A Republican, you know, that was when the Republican Party had sense and wasn't crazy and everything. You know, so, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah. We have a very diverse country. We could have another religion pop its head up and say we're now going to run this country on their religion.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to nip it in the bud, and nip it in the bud soon.
Well,
I think you know where I'm going with this.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. You know, and it's just like everything else. Everything is for profit, for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make
the bottom line. It's all come down to the bottom line.
Powerful. You know, yeah, right. The bottom line. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's America. So this is what we have become, a greedy country, very greedy country, very self-centered and greedy, lots of them. So I don't know how to fix that. You know, when I was growing up, I was
money
told,
out of politics.
Yeah.
I know it's a one-liner, but there's a lot of work to do it, but we've got to start somewhere.
You're right. The Fairness Doctrine would probably be the first place to start, the best place to start. That might be the spot to begin. But to get people to do that, like I said, we can't even get, you know, simple gun laws passed in this country. You know, we have a problem now with you know, right to life and, you know, in abortion. And, you know, it's just... You know, they are just digging holes and you know, and just digging dirt out of holes and just spreading it everywhere and just trying to make a mess out of things that have already been decided. You know, we already, you know, Roe versus Wade 50 years ago, for God's sakes. Now, all of a sudden, I have to start all over again. You know, I mean, why? You know, why? It's
I'm
crazy.
I'm just sure you hold the door, respect women. Women fought for the right to vote in 1919. Some Republicans know want to take that right from women.
Of course.
You know, 1919 was passed. You know, how dare they? You know, treating women as second-class citizens, up to now, the equal pay, you know, the equal pay rights, there's not one. You know, and, you know, they want to take away voting rights from minorities, not only women. They want to take rights from gays. You know, it's like taking. And Senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, Mr. Lindsey, he was on Fox News recently saying that the Republican Party is a part of inclusion. What garbage, you know?
Yeah,
inclusion,
crazy.
You want to exclude people from voting and having rights?
Mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
No, Lindsay has clipped his lid. He really has.
Mm-hmm.
There's something long definitely wrong
ago.
With it. Yeah.
When women started demanding equal pay for equal work, they
mm-hmm.
branded us with the name feminists. Remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah.
We were feminists because we wanted the same money to do the
mm-hmm.
same job.
Yeah.
They're real good at labeling. Well, it's time we start labeling back. We're tired of it.
Well, yeah,
mm-hmm.
well. We know that, you know, that's, it's an uphill battle, but we will get there.
Well,
mm-hmm.
we're halfway
mm-hmm.
up that hill. We're a little train that said we could do it. With
mm-hmm.
That little red train up that hill, we're chugging
yep.
along
mm-hmm.
and we're going to reach the top.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
So what do you ladies think about Donald Trump making that stupid statement about, you know, he'd give Russia permission to attack any NATO ally. I mean, that should disqualify him right there and then from saying that, you know?
Yes, he should have been muzzled right then and there, okay? That's what he should have been, was muzzled. And he thought it was funny what he was saying. I saw the clip. It was
mm-hmm.
disgraceful, sweating. And he wasn't even orange anymore. He looks like a pukey brown, like a diarrhea
mm-hmm.
pukey brown now. I don't know who's doing
mm-hmm,
his makeup,
mm-hmm.
but whoever it is colorblind. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was disgraceful. And it was almost like he was saying, remember when he said, Russia, are you listening? Did he say that? Was that
mm-hmm.
him?
Yeah, that
yeah.
was him. Russia, are you
That's
listening?
So,
get Hillary yeah. Clinton's emails.
Right. So, think about that for a second. Was he kind of doing the same thing? Was he signaling something, you know?
And Tucker Carlson is in Russia at the same time that he is
yeah.
saying this?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I have a little theory about all of this, and I think I've told David about it, but I have a little theory about this. I think that it's very, very funny. Not funny. I shouldn't say funny. Let's not use the word. It's kind of the timing, maybe it wasn't the timing, or it is that they made a plan. Let's put it that way. What if they made a plan to say, Tucker is going, all of a sudden, he's going to Russia to interview Putin? What does Tucker Carlson have in common with Putin? Honestly and truly, number one. And number two.
Idiot, just like Robert Kennedy Jr.
Well, you know, David, I think it's deeper than that. For some reason, I just have this feeling because it's so funny. Like Elaine said, Trump in South Carolina was talking about
mm-hmm.
Putin. He was talking
mm-hmm.
about, you know, that it's okay that if they don't pay their, you know, if NATO doesn't pay, if these NATO countries don't pay, then Putin has a, like, he open the door and you can just go and attack them. I don't care. You can go do that if I'm president. It doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like he was signaling something. So do you think that maybe he had a conversation with, before he went to Russia, and I'm talking about Trump
and Tucker. Definitely. It was soft questions. It wasn't any hard-hitting questions, you know?
It isn't even that. Yeah, you're right about that. I agree with that. But I'm just saying, did he have a message from Trump? You know, did Tucker take a message to Putin? That wasn't a question. It was just a little, maybe they had a little
the other way around. Tucker contacted Trump and told him what Putin wants.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that too. I'm just saying, there's some sort of a connection there. And the other thing is that it was rumored a few weeks ago that Tucker Carlson is interested in being the vice president, running for vice president, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So all
mm-hmm.
of this is pretty ironic to me that it all kind of
mm-hmm.
fell together. I think it's because I have a criminal mind. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that's how I look at it. That it's
and
kind of
did you hear today that Russia is talking that they have the ability to send a nuclear warhead in space to shoot out satellites?
Yep. I sure did.
Boy, I'm telling you, the shit is really hitting the fan all at once, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. We do have an article on that, because we were going to talk about that, so we might as well. Do you see it there, David?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the White House did confirm today that intelligence is showing Russia is developing satellite capability. This is what, and it goes on to say, this is CBSNews.com. The White House confirmed Thursday that the U.S. has intelligence that Russia is developing a capability to target satellites in space, one day after the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee gave a cryptic warning about a serious national security threat. It is related to an anti-satellite capability that Russia is developing. This is John Kirby. He is the national security spokesman. He said at a daily press briefing. This is not an active capability that's been deployed. And though Russia's pursuit of this particular capability is troubling, there is no immediate threat to anyone's safety. I don't think that John Kirby should have said anything, but he did yesterday. He kind of he went ahead because actually he went ahead and said that, and they really didn't want that out in public. They didn't want it out in public because it was still trying to figure out what was going on. And I don't know why.
So this would be, it would be space-based and everything, and Kirby said that they were aware Russia's pursuit of the capability for months. So that means Russia could put a space station up there and spy on Americans, basically. So in recent weeks, now has the intelligence community been able to assess with the highest sense of confidence exactly how Russia continues to pursue it? You know, Kirby would not give details, and he shouldn't have said something like you said. And on Wednesday, U.S. officials from the Pentagon told CBS News that Russia is developing a nuclear-capable weapon that could take down U.S. satellites, knocking it out that ability to communicate, and there's no evidence a weapon has actually been deployed. You know, so Russia has the mother of all bombs. Does America have something bigger than that and better than that? You know, an anti-satellite capability should be of general concern by Russia, because they give billions of dollars to developing their weapons program. And the SALT treaties that Gorbachev and Reagan signed in the 80s is totally ignored by Vladimir Putin, a former KGB spy. You know, so he has no respect for democracy or respect for treaties. You know, he doesn't have respect for people. And Tucker Carlson, if he had any, you know, a grain of salt or worth, he should have asked Putin, hey, so every time somebody who is close to you falls out of favor, either they fall out of a third-story building and die, or they get plutonium poison. You know, ask the hard, tough-hitting questions. What's this? Oh, what do you eat for breakfast? You know, what the hell is that? You know? And these right-wing lunatics who support Trump salivating, like, oh, that was a great interview. No, it's not, you know? It's just the right wing in this country has just gone totally Hitler and Mussolini and far right. It's ridiculous. But not even Genghis Khan, you know, could go past this the way it's so ridiculous.
I'm going back to the my point where what did Tucker Carlson think he was going to get out of this interview? What was the purpose of it? Everyone, I mean, what is the purpose of it? What was he expecting?
Well, to distract from the Republicans not doing anything at home in terms of border security, is national security, this border security thing, and Bidenomics is picking up and doing well. The amount of accomplishments you've done in almost 4 years compared to Trump, who, you know, failed in comparison. I mean, what did Trump accomplish in just 4 years?
When you ask a Trumper that, they don't know how to respond. They cannot respond. You know,
you know,
of course, I have a feeling, like Elaine said, that Tucker Carlson was a go-between between Trump and Putin and giving the messages and everything. And just a grand distraction for the American people, because we think about, you know, how Biden is lowering, you know, help trying to fight inflation. The Build Back Better program that he implemented with the help of no Republicans. You know, so these different things that could go on, the CHIPS program, you know, a whole host of things. You know, but Republicans don't have anything to run on. And what they're running on, they're the problem for it, immigration. Something was going to be done. If something was going to be done and Trump didn't put his nose in, then we'd have immigration reform. But no, you know, they'd rather bow down to Trump and kiss his ass, not his ring.
No, Johnson knew Trump was going to come in there and say something. I don't buy that they were going to go along and do something on immigration, because they had their cards already ready to impeach, the head of immigration.
Mayorkas.
They already started rumbling about that.
Mayorkas, he was impeached, yes.
They already started rumbling on him not being strong enough, and so they already had their cards ready. They knew Trump was going to come in and say that. So then they said, "Well, gee, our leaders told us not to, so we're not going to do anything about it." They've been playing games from day one.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, and interestingly, Congressman Mike Turner, a Republican from Ohio, he's a chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. It's sort of ironic that, you know, he is the chairman for the Intelligence Committee, because, trust me, Mike Turner is one of them Christian fundamentalist idiots, so he shouldn't be on the Intelligence Committee, much less leading it as chairman. He issued an unusual public statement urging President Biden to declassify all information relating to an unspecific threat to the United States and its allies that could open discussion for a response. Now, some things are sensitive, and, you know, the NSA, the CIA, and whichever other organization that has to do with intelligence, you know, advise the president not to, because it doesn't open a can of worms and everything. Imagine if Trump wasn't there, the amount of secrets that would spill, the amount of lives that would be, you know, in danger. People have no sense of decency and have no sense of patriotism.
No.
You know?
Well, we still don't know what documents the DOJ was not able to retrieve.
Nope.
You know, is that another dot to connect?
Who knows?
Between Russia and Carlson and Trump and Johnson?
You know,
who's the next player?
You know, the impeachment of Mayorkas was really a shameful thing that they did. It was a waste of time, and the Senate is probably just going to acquit him, you know. So taxpayer money and time, no problems of this country, you know, the border, you know, our debt ceiling, none of that is getting solved. Immigration, the list is long. We all know that nothing's getting solved. But what's important to them is, you know, impeaching him was just basically revenge for impeaching Trump. We know that.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that they could actually probably impeach. So they picked him. Oh, let's pick him today. You know, the next week we'll try to impeach Biden again. You know, I mean, this is the mindset of these idiots. This is a mindset.
Speaking of Biden and impeachment, there was this the so-called witness that they had for against Biden and Hunter. They found they found out that he totally lied.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why isn't that being repeated over and over on the media? But no, they're trying to get rid of Fannie. She didn't do anything wrong.
Nope.
I listened to her testimony today, and she was very clear about, I don't need no man to pay my way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she's got that personality. You know?
But the thing is, with Fannie Willis, she has a personal life. And before all this happened, they're friends, they're lovers. Well, she shouldn't have a life and everything. And it's not like the guy's not qualified for the job that she gave him. You get what I'm saying? Because was Ivanka Trump qualified for the job at the White House or Jared Kushner? No. And it made over $600 million, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it took money from China. It took money from North Korea, you know, $6 million. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and Kim Jong-un, the leader for North Korea, called out Trump, saying that, you know, Trump won $6 million. That is breaking the emolument clause. He should be in friggin' jail. And I hope Jack Smith go after him in a trial, because that's just breaking the law. Imagine if a Democrat did that.
Oh,
you know,
please.
I'm sure it's going to come out in trial and everything.
Yeah, there is something else that's bothering me about this Fannie Willis thing. And here I go again with my criminal mind. But the lawyer that was questioning the gentleman this morning, and I can't remember his name. He was her boyfriend or lover or whatever he was. The lawyer's name is Ashley Merchant. Now, Ashley Merchant is the lawyer that's, I think she's heading the team. And she is also the lawyer of one of the co-defendants that was booked in Georgia with election interference. And his name is Michael Roman. Michael Roman was part of the Trump administration as well. He worked for Trump for a year and then I think he left. But it's really funny that she's his lawyer, okay, she's his lawyer, and she's also now going after the DA in Georgia, just on the opposite. You follow what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. It was the way she was questioning Fannie this morning that led me to believe they sounded very Republican type questions. And it was the way she was phrasing them. And there was a couple times a judge came in and told her in legalese that you already asked that.
Yeah, and that you're going into too much detail, and we've already covered this. But you're right; they were digging so deep, it made me think that Trump has his hands in this as well.
Definitely.
He said that he wants this case dismissed now because Fannie is a crook.
The thing is, it will be dismissed because Fannie Willis did not do anything wrong, and if Fannie Willis is removed from the case, then it's such a strong case against him with RICO, you know, he has no escape, you know, so this is the next distracting thing, and Nathan Wade is the guy who had a relationship with Fannie Willis and had every right to have a relationship with Fannie Willis, and he took the stand and everything, and I have that clip, and I'm going to play all 7 minutes everything, but we're going to play some, and then come back and everything.
A romantic relationship with DA Willis until after he was hired, and the two split expenses for various vacations. Wade's extraordinary appearance on the witness stand comes as many of the defendants in the election interference case argue the case should be dismissed because of a conflict of interest. Fox 5 IT reporter Randy Travis was in the courtroom and joins us live with more, a lot to unpack with what happened today, Randy.
Yeah, Christine, actually a couple of extraordinary situations out here today, the latest being that DA Fannie Willis took the stand about an hour ago. And I would say if there was one word to describe her testimony so far, it would be seething. She repeatedly accused defense attorney Ashley Merchant of lying about her relationship with Nathan Wade, calling her and other defense attorneys, quote, opposed to democracy.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet with Mr. Wade and talk to him about the motions that I filed to disqualify you?
On January, this first January motion?
Yes.
I don't know if he's coming. Talked about, I probably had some choice words about some of the things that you said that were dishonest within this motion. So I don't know that it was a conversation. As you know, Mr. Wade is a Southern gentleman. Me, not so much.
A lot of salacious information came out today, but Judge Scott McAfee said he's really looking at two things here. When did this relationship start, and whether Willis benefited financially from it? Now, Nathan Wade testified that the DA actually reimbursed him for a lot of those vacations that they took together, and she reimbursed him in cash.
My name's Nathan Wade, N-A-T-H-A-N-W-A-D-E.
Rarely does a prosecutor in a criminal case get questioned under oath by the defendant's attorneys. But it was clear long ago the election interference case against Donald Trump and 14 others is no typical prosecution.
I want to say, because my marriage was irretrievably broken, I was free to have a relationship.
Nathan Wade testified his marriage was irretrievably broken in 2015, but he and his wife decided to stay together until their children were out of school.
When did your romantic relationship with Ms. Willis begin?
2022.
When?
Okay, let's stop it right there. So you see what Trump and Republicans trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to paint Fannie Willis as a homewrecker.
Yep.
Look at Trump. You know, he cheated on all his wives, you know,
yep.
But yet still Christian conservatives saying that, oh, he's a man of God and God sent him and he's a second coming of Jesus and all this bullshit. You know,
mm-hmm.
And he was convicted monetarily of raping E. Jean Carroll. No, is that a man of
mm-hmm.
God or God sent him? No. This whole family value is hypocrisy by the Republicans. You know, this man was separated from his wife. They had a relationship
yeah.
in 2022 starting. He's a grown man. You know, and she's a grown woman. They mustn't have a life. You know?
Well, the way...
I mean, Jesus
way,
Christ,
the way,
it's hypocrisy.
The way...
I'm sorry.
The way that Mr. Wade explained it was that
mm-hmm.
their marriage was over with. 2015, they decided
mm-hmm.
to stay together for their children. And when... You know, until they graduate or go off to college. That's exactly
mm-hmm.
what they did. But they
mm-hmm.
didn't have a marriage. They didn't have a relationship. They only stayed
mm-hmm.
there for those reasons and together.
Yes.
So
exactly.
And the other thing that bothers me is that there are a lot of people that work all around the country, all around the world. They work in
mm-hmm.
offices together. They have relationships. Don't tell me
mm-hmm.
that they don't. Don't tell me that lawyers don't date their secretaries or other lawyers or doctors don't, you know, date other doctors or nurses don't date doctors.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They all do. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
In every sort of business, in the car business, any sort of business, that is what happens a lot of times. So what?
Mm-hmm.
They did not do anything as far as the case went.
Mm-hmm.
They worked on the case together. If they can win the case, so that's fine. But their relationship should not be on trial. That's what I don't understand. Why is their relationship
mm-hmm.
on trial? And they did ask, there was one more thing that I just want to say, and I'll let Elaine talk. They asked her about, because she paid a lot of the money for the trip. She paid him in cash, she said. And they asked her,
mm-hmm.
well, why did you pay in cash? And she said, because that's the way my father taught me. And she
mm-hmm.
said, I've always had cash in my house. I've had cash in
mm-hmm.
my house from $100 to $500 to $15,000. That's what
mm-hmm.
I do. That's my personal preference. So what?
Mm-hmm.
My, my sister does not have a debit card. She pays everything with cash. Do I
mm-hmm.
think it's kind of strange? Yeah, maybe. But that's the, what she wants to do. So it's not up to me to tell her she can't. Mm-hmm. You know? And Elaine, go ahead. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, she also added that she didn't need a man to pay her for her things.
Yeah.
And when she said that, I chuckled. And the other thing she explained is they were friends first for some time. And then they had a physical relationship. And that's how she put it, a physical relationship. And then she said, and we no longer have that kind of a relationship. We are back to friends.
Mm-hmm.
But what the hell is the problem?
I don't know.
They both had a roll in the hay. Big deal.
The problem is, ladies, is that a black woman, a successful, educated black woman, is going after a white man, a former president of the United States, who has a history of racism and sexism and even rape, you know? And I hate the fact that he's going down on RICO charges because of this black woman. And even if she's removed from the case, they're still going to get him because, you know, what she did, which I have every right to do with Mr. Wade, because you're separated from his wife. They're grown people. You get what I'm saying? And Trump and anybody associated with Donald Trump, anybody associated with Trump shouldn't bring that up, you know, as being a conflict of interest, because look what Trump did. He cheated on every one of his wives. His third wife and current wife was pregnant, about to have a child for him. And he was sleeping with Stormy Daniels, the popular porn star, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have no authority to bring Fawny Willis's love life or private life in the conversation. She did nothing wrong, you know? And there's a whole double standard and hypocrisy. He get, you know, lauded and praised. Oh, yes, look at this woman he bedded and conquered. And, you know, what forgot, you know, one of these days, look at his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein on that island. You know, it's so disgusting, the hypocrisy, the level of hypocrisy in this country, especially from right-wing so-called Christian conservatives. They're disgusting. Mm-hmm. Look at the woman who's on the school board in Saratoga, Florida, where she and her husband having threesomes, but yesterday she ran as a family values conservative, you know, blasting LGBTQ people, blasting, you know, people who have alternate sex lives, but yet still behind closed doors. If it wasn't for, you know, their friend for over two decades who came out and said, "Hey, your husband raped me," and went to the police, none of this would have been in public, you know. So it should shut the fuck up, try to govern, but you would say, you know, that can't govern. They have no clue how to govern. You know, and Kristen Noem in South Dakota, the governor there, she ran as family values conservative, Christian, born again. But yet still, she screened Cory Lewandowski, who's like a top advisor of Trump when he was in the White House and his campaign in 2024. So the whole hypocrisy, the media should call them out on it, but nobody in the media calling them out on it because it's not ratings. It's ratings to go after a black educated woman who's going after a former president who's a goddamn rapist and a liar and a sexist piece of shit. That's what's happening. So what the hell with this narrative?
You know, David,
what I was going to say is whether it was a black woman or a white woman or a white man that had this case, Trump is a mobster. He is going to do whatever he can to keep his orange ass out of prison.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what's going on. And Lori brought out those points that the one that's trying to prosecute Fannie and the other prosecutor, she brought him on as the person that she had dated, she brought him on as a prosecutor because he's good. Mm-hmm. He's good at his job. J-O-B, job.
Yep.
And Lori brought out the fact that that woman and Trump's attorneys are all intertwined.
They are.
I mean, we're, you know, this is another mobster hit. And we've just got to take and keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that I'm thinking about, if Mr. Wade and Fannie Willis do not win this case, whoever takes over cannot just take over. I am sure that they have to go through, because it's not just going to be, the way they explained it today was that it won't be just that she's taken off the case and Mr. Wade has taken off the case. It's the whole office is taken off the case. So in other words, they have to get a whole new office, you know, hire, you know, all new people, and then they would have to find two prosecutors. And so that would take time, right? And then
I heard that. That scared the hell out of me.
Yes, and that would take time. They said that it would probably not be before the election they could even have a trial. There is no way they could do it because it's not enough.
We'll have
time.
A call from Atlanta, Georgia. I think this is Nash calling from Atlanta, Georgia. 515-605-9802. Under 10 minutes left in the show. Hello, Nash. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Hello, you're live on air.
Hi.
Hi, Nash. Hey, y'all. Can y'all hear me?
Good. How are you doing?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Yeah, man. This story is going crazy. It's everywhere. They're showing all the clips of her kind of, you know, being combative with the other side. And the other side trying to paint this, you know, this picture about irresponsibility and corruption. So basically we just got a girl meets boy story. But the problem becomes the cash part. I had no idea that she was going to get up there and say she has cash in her house. She reimbursed
him
with cash.
I heard that. I was shocked as well.
I was like, why would you? What? So, yeah, that part looks bad. That's the only thing that I think can kind of be the final nail in the coffin for them getting pushed off the case. And like you said, it's going to be difficult. If another group takes over, they can take over all the materials and the case as is. But like you said, that's not a clearly defined thing, and it's not necessarily, this is Georgia, you're not necessarily going to get a friendly office who wants to take on the case. You may get shifted to another office who says, we'll decline, we'll leave it alone.
And they could just bury it. That's the thick
one. Why is the cash a problem? I know a lot of people that pay just cash.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yes, Speaker Mike Johnson is a perfect example. He has no bank account.
Oh,
he pays everything by cash.
Yeah, he does.
If you're being accused of embezzlement or misappropriating funds, the last thing you want to say is, "Well, I just keep cash, man. I ain't got no receipt. Sorry." Like that's it's just the worst scenario, you know, for it to come
out. No, you're right about that. It does sound bad. It really does, but. You know, if that's what she did, I don't know how she's going. That's the biggest problem right there. Because the rest of it, you're right. It's boy meets girl. They, you know, whatever. You know, and
no, wait a minute. She makes good money, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now this trip didn't cost $1 million. This trip probably cost $5,000 or $6,000, maybe less. So what's the big deal? We're not talking big bucks. We're talking about a lady that makes damn good money.
Yep.
Right, but you're speaking as a normal, common sense human being. Think about if you're a lawyer on the other side.
That's
you're trying to get the idea of impropriety, the idea of embezzlement, or anything else out there. So anything that has the look of it, you just want to shade it that way. And, you know, I hate to say this, but his lawyers from the beginning, they knew their hand was terrible. So they said, okay, we're going to try to pull on as many threads as we can. If we find one, we're just going to keep pulling on it. So, I mean, she put herself in a position for this to be used against her. But we all know the phone calls still exist. The demands still exist. You're using the power of the office to try to bully the Secretary of State and local officials. All of that still exists. So the case is still there. But again, you know, we got a time. Yeah, we're on a stop clock. We're on a watch.
Yeah.
As far as him trying to run out the clock until, you know, November.
Well, isn't Fannie going to have an attorney that's going to re-question her?
Well, you know,
I don't think so.
Yes, yes, they will. The state will, The state will, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, she should have an attorney that's going to re-question her. After all, she's on trial.
Yeah, no, the state was there today.
Yeah, but would you want her to do that? I don't know if you want her to do that. I don't know.
Well, that is not the way the law works. Just because she's a DA, she's being accused of something. She has a right to legal representation.
I would say so. But
but you want your representation to argue for you. I don't know if they want to put you on the stand and kind of work through some type of verbal thing y'all do, because then that gives them a chance to attack her again and sow seeds of doubt. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this case worries me. It really worries me, and I was the most excited about this case. I really was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's take one more call before we'll have to go. It's coming from the 816 era code. Let me see. 816. Jackie, I think this is Jackie from the great state of Missouri, Kansas City. Jackie, what's 3 minutes? What's cooking?
Hey, David. Hey, Lori.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. We're talking about finding Willis and everything. Mm-hmm.
I'm doing fine. The kids are a little bit somber on the school bus today after all the happenings in Kansas City yesterday.
So right,
sad.
Right.
So sad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Truly sad.
So,
sad.
Any new details on what happened, why the shootout happened? Was it gang-related?
That is the consensus of most people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have not heard that, officially from people.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been domestic, but it was definitely between just two people, and a gun was drawn. Sadly, it was an automatic, so there was a lot of damage in a very short time, which is just stupid, in my opinion. How is that even legal? Or if it's not legal, it shouldn't be legal. But most of the people that I'm talking to, you know, as a mother, I'm saying, yes, there needs to be more gun control laws. But the common sense people are saying, but the criminals won't follow the law, and they'll just have guns, and then all the, the regular people won't be able to defend themselves. But I think that from a law enforcement perspective, if the criminals are the ones with the guns, it'd be a lot easier to find out who they are and to prosecute them easier. If it was less available for regular people. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I wish, you could have called in early and everything, but no, we're on final words. Naj, last word go to you. Do you think she's going to be taken off the case, or do you think this is a nothing burger?
Are you talking about Fannie Willis?
Yeah.
We're still talking about Fannie Willis.
Oh, no, no, no. Fannie Willis will not be taken off the case. This is an obvious ruse to get a dogged prosecutor off the case. They're just using this is an obvious ruse, and it will be seen for the ruse that it is. Fannie Willis is a bulldog. She's a pit bull with a bite from hell, and they just scared of her. This is scare tactics.
Naj, have the last word. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say be careful with that, because even if she wasn't as good as she is, if she was incompetent, they could still try this same tactic, because the overall issue is the case is so damning that they needed to do whatever they could to gum up the works. That was their plan. And
right.
I really condemn her for making the mistake of giving them enough thread to pull on. All of the stuff that we talked about before, like, you know, it's a nothing burger for the most part. But when they got into the cash payment part, him admitting that they slept together while he was still married, when in the divorce case he didn't say that, that's where this kind of gets messy, and the right wing is going to just, they're going to feast on this all week and use this as their main excuse to try to, you know, exonerate Trump. So I don't have a lot of faith in her staying on, Law Abel.
Yeah, that has to be the last word. Nanj in Atlanta, Georgia, thank you. Jackie in Missouri,
yes,
thank you. Elaine in Michigan, thank you. We hope to hear from everybody again Sunday.
Let he who have no sin cast the first stone.
Exactly.
How dare they?
How dare they cast
the first stone?
Yeah, especially the people who are related to Trump and everything in this case. And all the cases. That shouldn't, you know, bring up infidelity or whatever else. You know, so that has to be the last word. Well, thank you for joining us. We'll be back here again Sunday, same time, same place, Blog Talk Radio. Check out kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have new recipes on there, and we'll have new blog articles and even more coming. And the merchandise section will be off and running as soon as we get certain things from the IRS. So until next time, this is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. Good night, everyone. This is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good, safe evening. Bye now. See you Sunday.
And then we're leaving, you know, with California Sun by the Riveras, 1964 song. Good night, everybody. Good night, America. Bye.
Well, I don't matter where I belong. Well, the days are short and the nights are long. Well, they won't, and I won't. They say, and I'll do. They sing, and I'll do. They fly, and I'll fly. Well, they're out there having fun, and they won't tell them what they want. Well, I'm going out of West out on the coast. Well, the California girls are really the most. Well, they won't, and I won't. They trip, and I'll do. They sit, and I'll do. They fight, and I'll fight. Well, they're out there having fun. And I'm on California girls. In old Frisco, a pretty little chick wherever you go. And they walk, and I walk, they trip, and I trip, they sing, and I sing, they fly, and I fly. Well, they're out there having fun, being that boy California.
Thank you.